All right, Trevor, say good morning. Let us begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us. Really incredible and wonderful sugyas today. Today's daf is Mem Aleph 41. We are actually going to pick up on Mem Amud Beis 40b at the two dots, Novlos, which are, actually a little bit earlier than that we left off. Lememra, thank you, Lememra, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. Speaking about mushrooms and truffles, we'll get to that in just a moment. We begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning, Shir, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf for dedicating all the Shir and Drush to the memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Bas Velvel Zichron Levracha, Bracha Strimber for dedicating the Shirim and Drashos this month of her, in memory of her husband Avi, Avram Ben Kalman Eliezer Halivi. We thank our Week of Learning sponsors, an anonymous sponsor in the merit of Arafu Shalima, for Kalman Leib Ben Genendel MS, and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara. We thank Jack Bennett for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of his grandfather Chaim Fedorovsky, and his first wife, Paulina, their three children, and Jacques' great-grandmother, Basia Fedorovsky, who were killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shalom V'zichron Babi Yar, in 1941. We thank Adam and Leslie Rosen for dedicating a day of learning with thanks and appreciation to Hashem for everything He provides. Beautiful. And we have a special Dat Yomi sponsor, Michael Edinger, in honor of Binyamin Edinger's birthday. Mazel Tov, Binyamin. And in honor of Binyamin's brother, Boaz David, joining the podcast. We wish Binyamin a happy birthday. Admeva Esim Shalom Tovos, Mazel Tov. We hope that all the neshamas have an aliyah, the families in the Chama, and all those who require a refuah to have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And also with that, let us begin. So if you remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the idea that on with which items we go ahead and we recite Shehakol. So remember it again. So anything essentially that does not fit into one of the other categories, you recite Shehakol. So the example that, so I'm sorry, Rabbi Huda then came along and said that Halacha L'maisa, anything that is a Min Klala, right? Anything that is a Min Klala, ultimately, again, you go ahead. Well, he went through the whole example. The Gemara then got into the discussion regarding truffles and mushrooms, and explained that truffles and mushrooms are shahakol. To which the Gemara says, "Lameimra of the kamenu pitrios lav gule karkonin." Is that true that truffles and mushroom don't grow from the ground? Vatanya, we learned hanos meperos haaretz asura peros haaretz. If a person makes a neder not to get benefit from peros haaretz, fruit of the earth, so the halacha is he is usher to eat. He's taking a vow. He's usher to eat fruit of the earth, but ultimately, again, he is mutter. It is permitted for him to eat mushrooms and truffles. Vim amar kol gidulei karka alai. But if he uses a more inclusive lashon of kol gidulei karka, anything. So you notice the change in lashon. There's peros haaretz, the fruits of the earth. That excludes truffles and mushrooms. If he uses a more inclusive phrase of kol gidulei haaretz, anything that grows from the ground, then what? Aser af the kamenu pitrios. He ultimately, again, in that case, he will be prohibited to eat mushrooms and truffles. So what's the distinction? Amar Abaye, here's the difference. Mirbu rabo me'ara. They grow from the ground. They're really better stated. They grow on the ground. Minki lo yanki mi'ara, but they do not derive any type of nutrients or benefits from the ground. So therefore, again, if a person says a lashon of peros haaretz indicates us saying that it derives its nutrients from the ground. So therefore, that would exclude mushrooms and truffles. Kol gidulei karka sounds like stuff that grows from the ground on the ground. So mushrooms and truffles would fit into that category. Ay vaha al davershin gidulei min haaretz katani. Tani al davershin yonek min haaretz. To which the Mishnah says, when do you recite the Shehakol? On something ultimately, again, that does not derive its sustenance from the ground. So Moshe said, just an interesting halacha here. We know this is halacha l'maisa, that on mushrooms and truffles, one would not go ahead and recite the Adama, but one would recite the Shehakol, because the definition, in order to recite the Barei Pri Adama, is something that not just grows on the ground, but rather what? Derives its nutrients from the ground as well. So that's, if it grows on the ground, doesn't drive its nutrients from the ground, the bracha is a shehakol. Va'ala novlos. And regarding novlos, remember again, so the Mishnah said, Novlos Arashahakal, right? So ultimately, Rabbi Yehuda says anything that is a min klala, right? You don't make a bracha on it at all. So we'll see my novlos. So we'll see. Let's define our terms. So remember again, already in the Mishnah, we left this undefined. What are novlos? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Laichad, Amar Boshle Karma. One opinion said, we'll say if you look at Rashi, Boshle Karma Kigon Srufei Chama Shebishlein V'Sarfa Machom LiYavshu Tamarim. They are sun scorched dates. So dates ultimately, again, I guess they were left on the tree for too long, and as a result became burned or scorched by the sun. V'chadamar tamri dezeka. Others say that they're dates which were blown off the tree by wind. So tinan, Rabbi Huda Omer, kosher min klala imavarachin alav. Rabbi Huda said in the Mishnah, anything there will say that is min klala. Min klala means like a damaged species, a damaged item. Anything that is a damaged item, you don't make a bracha on it. Pishon leban darav boshle karma hanu the karlik min klala. So if you go with the opinion that novlos are sun-scorched dates, then I understand what Rabbi Yehuda calls that a min klala. In other words, they're compromised. So because they're compromised, you don't make a bracha. Eleman d'amr, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eleman d'amr tamri d'zeka, my min klala. But if you hold that novlos are just dates that were blown off the tree, so why would you call it a min klala? To which the Gemara says, you're right, ashara. According to this approach, the lashon of min klala refers to the other items listed in the Mishnah. Specifically, again, chometz vinegar, or the locusts, as we saw. Ika d'amri, what's another version of this? Ika d'amri. Bishlama, the man d'amar bosh le'karma, hainu d'bavachin alei shakol. I understand if you hold that novlos are sun-scorched dates, that's why you'll recite the shakol. El man d'amar tamri d'zeika shakol. Bray praise me, boy, lay the bruche. But if you hold that it's dates that are blown off the tree, we'll say, why would dates that are blown off the tree have a bracha of shakol? Right, dates that are blown off the tree are perfectly fine. They should get a bracha by Priya 8. Ella, benovlos stoma, kuli amalo pligi deboshle karmanin. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see there are actually two different food items that we are referring to over here. When you see the term novlos, stam novlos, unqualified word, so everyone agrees that that refers to sun-scorched dates. So what's the machlokis? Ki pligi, where does the machlokis come up? Benovlos tamra. When you see the phrase novlos tamra, so novlos, the word novlos by itself always means sun-scorched dates. What's the definition of novlos tamra? That phrase, that's the machlokes. This nan we learned, hakolin shebe demai. So let's remember again, demai means you go ahead, well, look at Rashi. Hakolin shebe demai. Peros shekilu chachamim bidemai shalohen, shalochen me'amaretz ein tzarech la'asra. So we'll say, remember again, the halacha of demai says as follows. If you purchase produce from an amaretz, from someone who's not knowledgeable, you cannot assume that that person tithed his produce. As such, you're obligated to go ahead and re-tithe produce that you purchase from an am haaretz. However, apparently there are certain fruits or certain items that Chazara make along. They were lenient on telling you that you don't have to retithe it. So, Disnan, Hakalon Shebe Demai, here's a list of the things that Chazara make along. They were lenient on when it comes to Demai. Hashisin, Harimin, we'll define these. Harimin, Hauzuradin, Benoshuach, Benoshikma, Gufnin, Natspa, Vinovlos Tamra. Supposed to say, where are these items? Shisin, Arama, Hanam, Yochanan, so Min Te'inim. So shisin is a type of fig. Rimin, kandi, is a kandi fruit. Hoz darin, tolshi, what they literally translate as sorb apples. Binos shuach, amra barabachanar biyochanan, tini chiyurta, white figs. Binos shikma, amra barabachanar amra biyochanan, duvli, figs, some other type of figs. Gufnin, shili gufni, late harvest grapes. Natsba, so natsba ultimately again are the caper berries. Parcha, novlos tamra. So what are novlos tamra? Rabbi Zira chad amra boshle karma. One opinion said novlos tamra refers to sun scorched dates. Chad amra tamri dezega. Others say that they're dates that were blown off the tree. Leman amra boshle karma. Hainu diktani hakolin shebe demai svekan hu depater. So it's according to the opinion who says that novlos are sun scorched dates. So that's why it says that what ultimately again in these situations of these. Of the kalon shebe demai sveikon, only if it's a safek case is it pater havada and chayiv. But in a normative case, a vadai case, it would be chayiv. Eleman damer tamri dezeka vada and chayiv hefkerin inu. I'll say if you hold that novlos ultimately again is or novos tama, excuse me, are dates that are blown off the tree, those have the status of hefker. If they have the status of hefker, then they're not subject to any type of tithing obligation. Hacham askinan, what's the case? Shasan goren, where someone took the dates that were blown off the tree and gathered them into a pile. Tam Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yochanan Shnabi Lazar Ben Yaakov halaket vashicha vapeh shasan goren huk va'ala meiser. They both say that the moment you go ahead and you gather up items that are technically hefker and you gather them into a pile, that subjects them that subjects them ultimately again to the obligation of tithing. See, Igad Amri, top of Mem Aleph. Bishlom Laman Damar Tamri Dezeka Hainu Dahaka Karle Novlos Stama. So I'll say, if you hold that halacha lamaisa, if you hold that halacha lamaisa, that it means Tamri Dezeka, wind blown date. So it makes sense that over here it calls it Novlos, plain Novlos. Vahasim Karle Tamra. Versus elsewhere it calls it Novlos Tamra. Alamanar Boshle Kama Nisni Edvid Novlos Tamra O Edvid Novlos Stama. But if you hold that Allah Khalamaisa Novlos refers to sun scorched dates, then use the same terminology in both cases. Either call them both Novlos Tamra or call them both regular Novlos, to which the Gemara says Kasha. At the end of the day, good Kasha. Now both say Halacha Lamaisa. The way the Halacha understands the phrase of Novlos is that Novlos refers to Boshle Karma. Novlos refers to sun-scorched dates. Sun-scorched dates, interestingly enough, according to the Mishnah, lose their status as dates because they're burnt by the sun. Therefore, experience a fundamental change. They no longer have the status of a date and therefore no longer get the bracha of Borei Priya Eitz, rather get the bracha of Shakol Niya Bidvaro. Interesting halacha. Good. How you the fun of Minin Harbe? So we'll say, so remember again, we went on. So if there are many different types of items, remember this, the Mishnah said as follows. If a person has many different items, that we'll see what many different items actually means. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if amongst those items is Min Shiva, one of the Shiva Saminim, one of the seven species, you should make the bracha on that. And the Chachamim say, it doesn't matter, you can make the bracha on whatever you want. Says the Gemara. So also we're going to happen to get into a really fascinating discussion now that has some great halacha lamaisa. So yes, we'll get through as much as we can in Mirtz Hashem. So Elifinim in Harvey. Amar Ula. Ula says, Machlokes Kishabir Chosei and Shavos. The Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is where you have multiple foods with the same bracha. Watch this. To Rabbi Huda Savar Min Shiva Adif. So we'll say Rabbi Huda says, for example, if you have multiple items with the same bracha, for example, you have oranges, apples, and grapes, right? All the bracha of Ha'etz. So Rabbi Huda will say, which item do you make the bracha on? Which item? The grapes. Why? Because Min Shiva Adif. Rabbi Huda will say that in general again. All this, remember, in this case, we'll say, how many brachas are you making? You're only making one bracha, right? Obviously, one bracha could discharge the obligation on multiple foods. So I'm only making one bracha. The shaila is, which food should I make the bracha on? So Rabbi Yehuda holds halacha lemaisa, if there's Shiva Saminim in there, make it on the Shiva Saminim. Rabbanan say, min chaviv adif. The Rabbanan say, whichever you like better, that's the one you should make the bracha on. So when you should make the bracha on, even if the one you like better happens not to be the Shiva Saminim. In other words, remember, the Rabbanan will say, that's fine, if you like grapes better, of course, by all means, make the bracha on grapes. But Lamaisa, if you like one of the other fruits better, make the bracha on the Chaviv. I will say, just I'll point out to you, we're not going to get to it today, but there's a fascinating machlokes as to what the definition of Chaviv is. Right? Machlokes between the Rambam and everyone else. Right? So the Rambam says, Chaviv is whatever you like now. Whatever you like now. Amazing enough, everyone else says, Chaviv is what you normally like. What you normally like, even if right now you happen to like something different. So in other words, according to the Rambam, Chaviv is defined b'shas ma'isa. Right now, when I'm making the bracha, what is it that I like the most? Everyone else says, no, Chaviv is defined by your normative patterns of behavior. And if 7 out of 10 times you like A better than B, that's Chaviv. Even if right now you like B better than A. It's really fascinating. So the Gemara says this right there. But Lamaisa, if you have items with dissimilar brachas, then Divrei HaKol Mevarech HaZeh, V'Chozer U'Mevarech HaZeh. So also according to this approach, if you have items with dissimilar brachas, then what? Then there's no real order anymore. Why is there no real order? Why not? Because you're going to end up making all of the brachas anyway. So because you're making all the brachas anyway, what does it matter if you make this one first or this one second? You're going to end up having to make all the money. So again, we're going to see multiple versions. But in this version, we're going to say the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is dafka in a case we have multiple food items with all the same bracha. So the shayla is, which one are you going to pick up and make the bracha over? The Rabbanan say, whichever one you like the most, make the bracha over. Rabbi Yehuda, whichever one, if you have min shiva, if one of them is a shiva, so I mean, then make that. But where you have dissimilar brachas, according to this approach, everyone will agree that what? Order doesn't matter. Why doesn't order matter? Because you're going to end up making all of the brachos anyway. Meisvei, the Gemara is Zekasha, how you the fun of Tznon Vizayis, if in front of me was a radish and an olive. Now, also remember again, radish, what's the bracha? Hadama, right? Olive, the bracha? Ha'itz. So, okay, I have two items with dissimilar brachos. So, what's the halacha? Mevarech ala Tznon, upotres ha'zayis. I make a bracha on the radish, and the radish exempts the zayis. So what is going on over here? To which the Gemara says, "Hachamar askinan." This is great. Kishat snon ikar. But also we're dealing over here with the concept of ikar and tafel, which we'll get into as well. The radish is the primary food item. So what does that mean? So sometimes a person would eat olives with a radish. Why? To blunt the sharpness of the radish. So again, I'm eating something that's strong. The olive is just there. Sweetness of the olive is just there to blunt the sharpness of the radish a little bit. This is a concept of ikar v'tafel. The only reason I'm eating the olive is because of the radish. So what's the halacha? You make a bracha on the radish, and that exempts the olive. Ihachi, if that's the case, Ema Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevarech al Azayis Shazayim in Sheva, but should be in Shiva. But one second, what do you do about the end of that price? Rabbi Yehuda says you make a bracha on the olive. Why? Because the olive is Shivas Haminim. Less lay the Rabbi Yehuda. Are you going to tell me then that less lay Rabbi Yehuda hadis nan? Does Rabbi Yehuda not subscribe to the following halacha? Kol shu ikar v'motafela v'varech ala ikar apotras atfela. So we're going to see this sugya. We've already seen it to a certain degree, but we'll see it again and again, which is this notion of ikar v'tafel, right? This notion that when you have two items, one is the primary item, one is the secondary item, you make a bracha on the primary item and it exempts the secondary item, ikar v'tafel. So remember again, if I have an olive and a radish, and the only reason I'm eating the olive is why? Is why? To blunt the sharpness of the radish, so the radish is ikar, the olive is tafel, make adama on the radish, and it takes care of the ha'itz of the olive. So does Rabbi Yehuda not subscribe to that concept? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the vikar of a tafel. Maybe he just holds on to this concept. Here is the problem. Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imachmas tznon b'hazayis, mevarech ala tznon potras hazayis. Rabbi Yehuda himself says that if the only reason you're eating the olive is to blunt the sharpness of the radish, so you make a bracha on the radish, and then that exempts the olive. So we'll say, so what's going on over here? The olam mitznon ikraskinon. So you're right. Really, we're talking about a case where what? Where the olive itself, I'm sorry, the radish is the ikar. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. So we'll say, what's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan? B'mil sachri si pligi v'chi sri mechsa. So we'll say, in reality, with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan arguing in a different case, and there was a couple of lines left out over here regarding a bigger discussion or a bigger machlokes. Here we go. V'chi katani. How you the fun of tznon v'zayis. We'll say, watch this case. So there's in front of me now a radish and an olive. Mevarech ala tznon, upodras hazayis. What's the halacha? You make a bracha on the radish, and it exempts the olive. The medra murim, when is that true? Kishat tznon ikar. That's only true when the radish is the ikar. Aval einat tznon ikar. We'll say, what happens if the radish is not the ikar? So in other words, I'm just eating radishes and olives. Why? Why? Because people like to eat radishes and olives. That's it. There's nothing. You don't have to read into everything. That's not people just do stuff. So the idea over here is I'm eating it not to blunt the taste. Anything. I happen to be eating two items. So what's the halacha? Aval inat snowneker divrei akol mevarich al zeh v'chozer umevarich al zeh. Everyone agrees that you make a bracha on this one and you go back. You make another bracha on that. And Rabbos say, what's the order of the two brachas? What's your two brachas? Seemingly whatever you want, right? According to this approach. Remember again, I will say, this is reflecting the understanding we had before. That the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, is only in a case of multiple food items with the same bracha, and then trying to figure out which item should you make the bracha on. Rabbi Yehuda saying, min shiva, Shiva Saminim, the Rabbanan saying Chaviv, whatever you want. So in this version reflects that same mindset. So therefore, again, if I have a radish and an olive, so everyone will agree that if the only reason I'm eating the olive is to blunt the sharpness of the radish, make a bracha on the radish, and that exempts the olive. But if I'm just eating both of them because I want both of them, I have two dissimilar brachas, Ha'etz and Ha'adamah. What's the halacha in terms of precedence and order? Make whatever one you want. That doesn't. You're going to make them both anyway. So which one you make first and which one you make second is irrelevant. So the Gemara says, "Ushnei minin ba'alma shebir chosei and shavos." And in general, this is continuation of the Brayis. In general, when you have two items that have similar brachas, mevarichal izem ehen sheyirza, you make a bracha on whichever one you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mevarich al azayis. You make a bracha on the olive, shehu min shiva. Ultimately, again, because it is one of shiva saminim. So, pligi bar Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. So, we'll say now again, another version of this machlokes. So, Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka argued on this. Chad Amar, machlokes shebir chosei and shavos. So, one of them said, as we just mentioned before, that the machlokes Rabbi Hudan Rabbanon is when you have two items with the same bracha. To Rabbi Huda Savar, min shiva adif. Rabbi Yehuda says that halacha l'maisa, again, remember, two items, similar bracha, so simplest example, grapes and apples. So Rabbi Yehuda will say, make a bracha on the grapes, because it's shivas aminim. Rabbanan savri min chaviv adif. The Rabbanan will say, no, the item that you like better, that's the one you should make the bracha on. Ava b'she'in b'rechosei and shavos. But when they have dissimilar brachos, divrei hakol mevarech alzeh, v'chozer mevarech alzeh. Everyone agrees that what? Make a bracha on the first one, make a bracha on the second one, and the order is irrelevant. Why is the order irrelevant? Because you're going to end up having to make both brachos anyway. So we'll say, so this is the same thing that we mentioned at the top of the daf. This is the same version. The Chadamar, a second opinion, said, Af b'she'in b'rchosei in shavos nami machlokes. Even when you have two items with dissimilar brachos, there is still a machlokes shabiyud in the Rabbanon. How so? So we'll say, so again, in that case, it would appear that even then, Rabbi Huda will say, even if you have an item with two items with two dissimilar brachos, if one of those items happens to be of shiva saminim, then what? Make the bracha on that item. So for example, let's go back to grapes and olives, to radishes and olives for just a moment. Assuming you're not eating the olives, to go ahead and blunt the taste of the radishes, the Rabbanan will say, make a bracha on whichever one you want. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, since the olives are shivas aminim, make the bracha on that, even though they are dissimilar brachas. So says the Gemara, bishnom lemandar bishabir chosei and shavos machlokes shapir. So we'll say, so according to the first opinion who holds, that the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is limited to a case where you have multiple food items with the same bracha. Rabbi Yehuda will say, make the bracha on shiva saminim if one of them is shiva saminim. And the Rabbanan will say, make the bracha on anything you want. That's the assumption, right? That's the assumption we've been working with. That's the dominant assumption up until this point. Elamandar b'shem b'rchosein shavos. Pligi, but my pligi. But I will say, listen to this. This is actually quite fascinating. But the Gemara says, but according to the opinion who says that they argue even in a case of dissimilar brachos. So even in a case where you have multiple food items with dissimilar brachos, that there's still a machlokes. What exactly is the machlokes? Well, what is it that they're arguing about? Amrab Yirmiya, lahaktim. Rabbi Yirmiya, very simple. We'll say, you see, up until now, in the first model, the assumption always is that if you're going to have to make all of the brachos anyway, which one you make first and which one you make second doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So if I'm going to have to make my ha'etz, my sha'akol, my adama, which bracha comes first, who cares? You're going to have to make them all anyway. The only time that ultimately, again, there's some type of dominance that has to be asserted is when you have multiple items with the same bracha, and the shayla is what? Which one are you going to hold in your hand and make the bracha over? That's where it matters. But if you're going to make all the brachas anyway, who cares? Now what the Gemara is saying is that, no, in model number two, even when you have multiple items with dissimilar brachas, there is still a machlokes regarding what? Which bracha you make first. Because kedimos, which one you make first, is still a significant issue. Tam Rav Yosef, Yitin Rav Yitzchak, we'll say, watch this. Just, now how do you know, by the way, that kedimos right, that doing something, right, that order, doing something sooner or later, does impact the importance of the item. Watch this. So, kala muktam b'pasak zeh, muktam l'bracha. Both say this is a great Gemara. Anything that is earlier on in the pasuk is earlier on for the bracha. And I will say now that the pasuk that we are referring to is the bracha of Shivas Haminim. Eretz Chita Usaora VeGefen Uteina VeRimon Eretz Zeis Shemen UDvash. So first of all, the Gemara says something very interesting. They will say, let's say I have a table full of Shivas Haminim, right? Oh, it's my Tu B'Shvat stage, right? I have a table full of Shivas Haminim. So we'll say, now remember, what's the order of Shivas Haminim? To which the Gemara says, the order is defined by the Pasuk. So we'll say, for example, if you have wheat bread and barley bread, so which item do you make the Hamotzi over? The wheat bread. Right? Similarly again, if you have Gefen and Te'ina, right? If you have grapes and you have figs, so ultimately, they're both ha'itz. Which one do you make the ha'itz on? The grapes. Because there's a concept, now both say these happen to be similar brachas, but for example, how do I know that I make a mezonos before ha'itz? So how do I know that? Right? That's the halacha. If I have two items, I make a mezonos before I eat. How do I know that? Well, actually, we'll see if that's the halacha. But let's see for a moment. How do I know that I would make a mezonos before I eat? Why? Because chita comes before gefen, right? Or comes before any of the ha'itz items. So the Gemara says, you see from here that what? That order of brachos, even though I know I'm going to have to make all of the brachos, there is a concept of trying to figure out which bracha should be made first. So we'll say, so this is the tension. In model number one, the tension only comes up when you have multiple items of the same bracha. Because why? Why does the tension come up? Because what's the decision that has to be made? What's the decision? Which item do I hold in my hand to make the bracha? That's incredible tension. Right? They're all significant, all wonderful, all beautiful. Which one do I hold in my hand to be the one over which I make the bracha? That's machlokas. Rabbi Huda says, Shivas Aminim. Rabbanan Chaviv, whichever one you like better. Whichever one you like, whatever that means. Whatever better means, as we saw before. Second approach says, yes, that is a machlokas. But even where they have dissimilar brachas, there's still a machlokas. Why? Because even with dissimilar brachas, even though, yes, you're going to end up making all of the brachas, but which one you make first and which one you make second highlights the importance, the relative importance of those items. Where do we see that order highlights relative importance? By the bracha, by the pasuk, by Shivas Haminim. Because ultimately, again, anything that is, your order in the pasuk will determine your order of brachos vis-a-vis the other items mentioned in the pasuk. Now, Bosi, now watch this. Hamuktam pasuk zeh muktam l'bracha. Anything that is mentioned earlier on in this pasuk ultimately, again, has preference or precedence for a bracha. Shnei mar, eretz chito sora v'gaf ha'tein avrimon, eretz yishemen v'dvash. U'pligid rab chanan. So Bosi, now here's what's fascinating. We're going to see now, there's a machlokes as to what to do with this pasuk. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, listen to this. Rabbi Yosef, obviously Rabbi Yitzchak, said that the point of the pasuk of the Shivas Haminim is to teach us an order in brachos. That's why the pasuk is there. It gives us a brachos order, sequence, and hierarchy. What's the order of brachos? Chita, Sora, Gefen, Te'ena, so on and so forth. That's the order. This argues on Rabbi Chanan. Listen to this, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi Chanan, kala pasuk kula l'shir nemar. This is great. It's not true. The pasuk of the Shiva Saminim actually comes to teach us a variety of halachas. Shiurim. What are the halachas? Nemar chita. So what I learned from chita. If a person walks into a house that is afflicted with saras, right? The home itself is afflicted with saras. And what happens? He's holding his clothing. He's not wearing his clothing, he's holding his clothing. So literally, again, his clothing is on his shoulder, his shoes and his rings are on his hand. Ultimately, again, both he, the individual, as well as all of his items, ultimately become tamei immediately. Hayalavush kilav is sandala beraglav. But if he was wearing his clothing, right, v'tabosa batzbosav, and his rings were on his fingers, hu tamei miyad, his physical body becomes tamei immediately. V'hein tohorin. But interestingly enough, his clothing and his accessories only become tamei at some later time. Again, Rashi explains why. We're not going to get into this now. V'hein tohorin. So I'll say ad sheyishe b'chdei achilas pras. Until what? Until he delays in the home. Until he tarries in the home. For the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf. What type of loaf? Paschitin v'lo pas saorin. the amount of time it takes to eat a wheat loaf and not a barley loaf. It takes less time to eat wheat bread than it takes to eat barley bread. Mesav, while reclining, va'ocha baliftan, and eating it with some type of relish. So we'll say, so you see over here, that from chita, what do I learn? From chita, I learned that halacha l'maisa, the amount of time it takes for my clothing to become tame, if I enter into a house of saras, is to tarry in the home for the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread while reclining with relish. Good. Sora, what I learned from Sora, this is not etzim kisra, but time of agomaso. If you have a bone fragment that is the size of a barley kernel, ultimately, again, it conveys tumma through contact and through carrying. But a bone fragment that is so small doesn't convey to us ohel. Geffen, what do I learn from Geffen? Kedei revias yayin lenozir. But see, interestingly enough, the revias is the shear for all items related to a nozir, not just for wine consumption, but even for grape consumption. The shear ultimately again is the revias. Teina, what do I learn from teina from a fig? Kigrogeres lotzas Shabbos. You're only chayiv on Shabbos for otzah. You only violate carrying on Shabbos if you carry the amount, the volume of a dried fig. Rimo, what do I learn from pomegranate? Kidisnan kol clay balibatim on the base shiurin karimonim. Well, it's interesting halacha. If utensil becomes tameh, once that utensil is rendered unfit. It loses its tumma status, which would make sense. The tumma devolves upon a utensil. Once it's no longer a utensil, it loses its tumma status. So we assume that once the utensil has a hole, it's no longer usable as a utensil, and therefore loses its tumma. Interestingly enough, that's true for balabatim, for regular householders. As long as the hole is smaller than a pomegranate, then ultimately, again, the utensil is usable. What is it usable for? Take a wild guess. Pomegranates. Right? So as long as the hole is smaller than a pomegranate, it's good enough to be used for pomegranates. Once the hole is the size of a rimon, then even what we call kli balabatim, then even, right, a balabas's kli is no longer has the status of a kli, and therefore loses its tumma status. Eres zeis shemen. What does it mean when the pasuk says it is a land, ultimately, again, of olives, right, of olive oil? Eres zeis shemen. Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Eretz shakol shi'ureha kizaisim. It is a land where all of the shi'urim are like olives. Right? Right? Every shi'ur is a kizayis. Kol shi'ureha sakadayit. What do you mean all of the shi'urim? V'ha'ika hanach da'amran. What about all of the shi'urim that we just mentioned before? Right? Which are non-kizayis shi'urim. Ela eretz sherov shi'ureha kizaisim. Rather, it means that what? A land where most of the shi'urim ultimately, again, are of a kizayis. Dvash, what I learned from Dvash, was remember again, when the Pasuk says Dvash, in the Shivas, I mean, in Dvash, of course, doesn't refer to, it refers to honey, but it doesn't refer to bee honey like we think about it. It's date honey. And in fact, again, the Dvash that's mentioned is actually a reference to dates. So what do I do with Dvash? With Dvash, Kikoseves Hagasu Yom Kippurim. If you eat the volume, if you eat the amount of a volume of a date on Yom Kippur, ultimately, again, that's when you will be chayiv kares. So just to point out something very interesting here. So here I have a fundamental machlokes, a fundamental dispute about what to do, or what is the impact of the pasuk of the Shiva Saminim. So we have one opinion, which is the opinion we just quoted, Rav Chanan. That Rav Chanan said the entire pasuk of Shiva Saminim comes to teach me about shiurim, all about shiurim, right? There's almost every shiur you need in life comes from the pasuk of Shiva Saminim. This is contrasted ultimately again with the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, this pasuk comes to teach you the halachas of brachas. What's the halachas of brachas? Namely, again, this pasuk comes to teach me the order of brachos. That where are you in the brachos hierarchy? Wherever you could find yourself in the pasuk, right? So whatever is before you is more important than you, after you, less important than you. So says the Gemara, the Idach. The other opinion, i.e. the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that this pasuk comes to establish bracha hierarchy. What does he do with this whole drasha Rav Chanan? So he says very simply, Shani Shiurin Behejim Iksivi Rav Chanan. This is a very impressive drasha. But do you actually think that this is what the Torah means when it writes this pasuk? Right? Do you actually think that this is the purpose of this pasuk to give me shiurim? Does the pasuk itself even make any reference to shiurim at all? To which the Gemara says, "Elamidirabanan." Rather, no. You have to understand the shiurim that you mentioned are all rabbinic shiurim. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. And the pasuk itself, Rabbo says, what do you call an asmachta? What's an asmachta? So remember again, any time that you have a rabbinic law, sometimes the rabbis try to find a scriptural allusion, a pasuk that kind of fits into their law, a pasuk that hints to their law. So therefore again, Rabbo says, what did we just read about? All of these shirim that we mentioned, halach, lamaisa, dirabanan. So ultimately again, the Gemara will say, Rav Hanan will say, Rabbi Yitzchak will say, Rabbi Yitzchak will say that halacha lemaisa Rav Hanan, beautiful, beautiful drasha. But the truth is, that's not the taitch of the pasuk. Remember again, the taitch of the pasuk is, as I mentioned, to give you an order for brachos. Torah is giving us an order to tell us what's more important, what's less important. Your drasha is beautiful, but your drasha is just an asmachta, right? Your drasha is just a scriptural allusion to a series of rabbinic laws. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Chisda Hamnuna. So we'll say, so therefore again, so what we have over here is as follows. We still don't have resolution, right? So we're still not sure exactly. Let's go back for just a moment. We're in the middle of dealing with a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. There's a machlokas in the machlokas. What are they arguing about? So two different models. In model number one, they're only arguing regarding what? A case where you have multiple food items with the same bracha. And what's the argument? Which one do you make the bracha on? Rabbi Yehuda saying Shivas Haminim. The Rabbanon saying Chaviv, whichever one you like best. Right? But when you have dissimilar brachas, no machlokas. Why? You have to make all of them anyway. It doesn't make a difference. Second version of the machlokas, no. Even B'Shem Birchos and Shavos, even when they have dissimilar brachas, there is still a machlokas. Why? Because ultimately there's a concept of hakdama. There is a concept still, ultimately, again, of what bracha goes first. Where do you get that there's a concept of when there's the similar brachas of which one goes first? Where do you get that from? Shivas Haminim. So we still have not resolved that. We still don't know what to do with that. So we'll say, watch this. An incredible, incredible Gemara here. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda, Rav Hamnuna, Havi Yosef Bisurdasa, Rav Chisda, Rav Hamnuna, we're sitting down having a meal. Aisu Lekamayu, here we go. Tamri Verimoni. So we'll say, so they brought before them dates and pomegranates. Remember again, same bracha. Both are eights, and not only that, but what? But both shivas haminim. So here we go. Here's where it gets crazy. Says the Gemara, Shakol Rav Hamnuna Barachat Tamri Bereisha. So Rav Hamnuna went ahead, and what does he do? He takes the date, and he makes the bracha on that first. Amar li Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, what's the matter with you? Lo svira li mar, lahad amar Rav Yosef, itin Rav Yitzchak, kalamuktam ba-pasuk zeh, kodam lebracha. Rav Chisda says, remember, what does the pasuk say? Eretz chita seora gefen te'ena verimon, eretz zeis shemen udvash. Remember again, Rav Chisda says, where are dates? Ultimately, again in the pasuk, where are dates in the pasuk? At the end, right? Rimonim, pomegranates are first. So don't you go ahead and subscribe to the drasha that says that the order of the pasuk, remember again, dates in the pasuk are dvash. So dvash is the last item mentioned in the pasuk. Rimon is earlier. So why are you making the bracha on the dates? Shouldn't you make the bracha on the tomorrow? I'll say, watch this. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Rav Chisda, I'm fine. Amar Lei, Zeh Sheni La'aretz, Vezeh Hamishi La'aretz. Wow. So we'll say, watch this. So to make things just a bit more interesting, the Gemara understands that the pasuk of the Shivas Haminim is actually almost like two different psukim. There was a break in the pasuk. Eretz chita seora gefen te'ina verimon. So it's a land. Ultimately, again, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates. Eretz zeis shemen udvash. A land of olives and dates. So the Gemara understands like this. The second Eretz in there is like the beginning of a new list. So in fact, there are two lists of Shivas Haminim. There's the first Eretz list, and on that first Eretz list, again, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates. Second list, ultimately, is what? Olives, dates. So therefore, the Gemara suggests like this. In fact, you have an idea that dates are actually higher on the list than pomegranates. Why? Because dates is the second item on the second list, but they're really not first and second important. They're concurrent lists versus pomegranates, which is number 5 on list number 1. So wow. So as if there wasn't enough to remember already. So I'll say, so now even in Shivas Aminim. So this is dramatic. Because remember, up until now, we assumed that what's the halacha? When you, at most, maybe there's a machlokes, when you have multiple ha'eitz items, so which item should you make the bracha on? So the Rabbanan say which one you like best. Rabbi Yehuda says Shivas Aminim. Fine. But I assume that if I'm eating multiple Shivas Aminim items, then what? Then whichever one you want to make the bracha on, again, assuming they're the same bracha. Just remember again, we already know that in Shivas Aminim there is an order, right? How do you know there is an order? Even before the pas, we already know this. Why? Because grain-based items come before other stuff. So I already know. And now what is that based on? That's based on the order of the pasuk. But I would have assumed that if you have multiple ha'eitz Shivas Aminim items, that they're all treated the same. Kamashmala, no. Kamashmala, Rabbi, say, this is why you have to know your Chumash. Right, I have to know my pasuk and chumash. Why? Because apparently, again, the order in which you find something in the pasuk determines its precedence for bracha. And I will say, not only that, by the way, but it's actually 2 psukim in one. There's 2 concurrent lists. There's the first list of chita, saora, gefen, teina, rimon, and then again zeis, shemen, olives, and dates. So 2 lists. First on 5 on the first one, 2 on the second one, and ultimately again, whatever's closer to Eretz, ultimately again gets the earlier bracha. Pretty incredible. So Amarle said to him, So literally translated, it means, if only I could have feet of iron, that I would go and follow you anywhere and everywhere to learn from you. So I'll say, this was Rav Chista saying to Rav Hamnuna, saying, I've learned so much from you, if only I could have feet of iron, I would follow you anywhere to learn from you. Pretty beautiful. So we'll say Itmar. So we'll say, so let's go by. There's a lot of halacha lemaisa on this sugi about what we do, but let's just first make sure that we finish the daf, and then I'll try to go back to whatever we can. So Itmar, but bear in mind this incredible machlokes. Remember, we still have not resolved the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Namely, again, here's what we do know. What do we know? They're arguing. Now we know, right, that everyone agrees that they are arguing. The extent and the subject matter of their machlokes is subject to dispute. Are they only arguing in a case of same bracha but multiple food items, where there's dissimilar brachos, no order, or do they even argue on order when it comes to dissimilar brachos? Good, hold on to that. Now, Bosei, let me just show you this. Okay, that's 5 7 minutes. Let's go. Itmar, heviel lefneim teinim. Bosei, yeah, we have to finish with that. Itmar, heviel lefneim teinim va'anavim. If they brought before a person te'inim and anavim besoch asuda, inside of the meal. So we'll say, so now this literally begins a brand new sugya. In this brand new sugya, I will say, so what we have over here is as follows. Let me just read you the halacha for the previous sugya, otherwise we're just never going to get to it. This is Simon Reish Yud Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. Very quickly, very, very, very quickly. How you the fun of Mine Pena Sapiris Habis? Well, let's listen to this case. I have in front of me many different types of fruit. In Bir Chosem Shavos Yesh Benem in Shiva, Maktim in Shiva, Af Api She'inu Chaviv Kimo HaMina Acher. Number one, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Pass like Rabbi Yehuda. You have multiple fruit, same brachas. All ha'eitz, apples, oranges, pears and grapes, all ha'itz. What's the halacha, Rabbosai? Because you have grapes, ultimately, again, Shivas Aminim, you always make the bracha on Shivas Aminim. So multiple items, same bracha, always make the bracha on Shivas Aminim. Vim ein b'neimim in Shiva, maktim achaviv. But if you don't have in there Shivas Aminim, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, go ahead and make the bracha over whichever one you like best. Rabbosai, remember what I said before? What's the one you like best? Machlokes. Remember again, the Shulchan Aruch here says, what's chaviv? The nikra chaviv, hamin sheragil lios chaviv alav, afilu em ata chaviv in hasheni. This is wild. What's chaviv? Chaviv is whichever one you like, you normally like better. Even if what? Even if you don't like it better now. That's contrasted with the opinion of the Rambam that is quoted in the very next halacha, where the Rambam writes, chaviv is whatever you like right now. It would appear that the halacha follows the Rambam, that really chaviv is defined not by what you statistically enjoy more, right, but rather what you want right now. So halacha l'maisa, so that's case number one. Multiple items, same bracha. If amongst those items is Shiva Saminim, make the bracha on Shiva Saminim. What happens? Vim ein b'neim mimin Shiva, makti machaber. Vim b'ein bircha osein shavos. But say, what happens if you have multiple items that do not have the same bracha? Then what's the halacha under those circumstances? Afilu yesh b'ein mimin zayin, ki gon tznon v'zayis, eizo mehem sheyirtze yaktim, v'afilu eino chaber. The Shulchan Aruch, however, paskins here and says what? If you have multiple items with dissimilar brachas, even if one of them happens to be Shiva Saminim, for example, I'm eating radishes and olives. Radishes ha'adama, olives ha'itz, olives Shiva Saminim, radishes, not Shiva Saminim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, make whatever bracha you want on whatever item you want, and you don't even have to make the bracha on the chavit first. Since you're going to end up making all of the brachos, anyway, halacha lemaisa, you can make on whatever you want. So we'll say that is the core halacha. But again, the halacha has many, many, many qualifications. But so I'm going to have to leave it like that for today. But at least you understand that me'ikra din, we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, namely that if you have multiple items of the same bracha, and amongst them is Shiva Saminim, you make the bracha on Shiva Saminim. Items, when it comes to dissimilar brachos, becomes a bit more complicated. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that when there are dissimilar brachos, you can pretty much do whatever you want, but already we know that's not true. Because we already know, for example, mezonos, I'll tell you, the general assumption when it comes to brachos is, the more specific the bracha, the sooner you make it, the more precedence it has. So for example, hadama, ha'etz, will always come before shahakol. Mizonos will always come before Ha'adama and Ha'eitz. So again, we'll have to flesh out those halachos a bit more as we go on. But at least, you see, that's how you pass an halacha ma'isa. We'll say, let's at least begin the next sugya. Itmar, we'll say, this is incredible. Itmar, heviu lefem teimim v'anovim. Hopefully, we'll cover a lot of these sugyas also over the lunch learns. We'll say, hopefully, you're following along with the lunch learns. What I'm trying to do with the lunch learn shiurim are to take sugyas that we're doing in the daf and to expound upon them. This past week we did medicine, but next couple, there's no shir next week, but it is coming week. But in Meretz Hashem, over the coming weeks, we're going to focus a lot on these halachas concerning order of brachos. Good. Itmar, watch this. Great sugya. They brought before me te'inim, figs and grapes during the meal. So you see what's happening over here? Fruit during the meal. Mamish, nebuch, right, fruit during the meal. So what do you do with fruit during the meal? Samrafuna, tunim bracha lefem, tunim bracha lefem. So we'll say, what's wrong with fruit during the meal? What's wrong with fruit during the meal? So many issues, right? I'll say, but from the brachos perspective, what's happening over here is the assumption is, whenever we talk about a meal means hamotzi, right? You're so many, you've made hamotzi. Hamotzi only covers items that are part of the normative meal. The Gemara comes from the assumption is fruit is very nice, but it's not part of a normative meal. So therefore, again, what do you do with fruit that is consumed during the meal? So we'll say, obviously, Chazal are also reflecting their normal setup of a meal. So apparently, you clearly see from Chazal, no one was ever having fruit as an appetizer. It did not happen. People have fruit for dessert. We'll see that. But lemaisa, fruit itself was never part of the main meal. So as such, halacha lemaisa, when I make hamotzi, my hamotzi doesn't cover my fruit. So what do I do with it? So the Gemara says, Rafuna, tunim bracha lefem ve'intunim bracha l'acharem. You have to make a bracha rishona. So I'll say, if you decide to eat fruit during your meal, you have to make a bracha on the fruit, but you don't, a bracha rishona, but you don't need to make a bracha achrona. Why don't you need to make a bracha achrona? Benching. Right? Your benching will be the catch-all. V'chino rav, nachim tunim bracha lefem ve'intunim bracha l'acharem. Fine. Rav Sheshes, here we go. Tunim bracha bein lefneim bein la'achareim. Rav Sheshes will say, no, you must make a bracha before the fruit, and you must make a bracha after the fruit. Why? She'in lecha davar she'ta'un bracha lefanov, ve'in ta'un bracha la'acharav, ela pasaba bekisnen bilbad. Because Rav Sheshes says like this, in general, if you need a bracha before the fruit, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? That it's not part of the meal. If it's not part of the meal, then guess what? It's not covered by benching either. So therefore, if you require a bracha before the fruit, then you're going to require a bracha after the fruit. Because the only thing that requires a bracha beforehand and does not require a bracha afterwards is what's called pas haba bekisnin. So we'll say, we'll have to stop over here. Well, the Meretz Hashem, we'll stop. We'll pick up in the Meretz with this machlokes. So I will say, you can appreciate this. This is really a fascinating machlokes, because this gets into really the very essence, the identity of what is part of a meal. What is considered part of the meal versus what is considered to be something outside of the meal. The Meretz Hashem to be continued tomorrow.
Goodbye, be well.